This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Oakland's Mansion, some events coming up and different things happening at Oakland's Mansion. And we have with us today the director, James Manning. And James, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks. How about you?
I'm good. And then you also brought with you a guest.
Yes, this is my friend and co-worker, Jody Johnson. And Jody and I actually grew up together in Mount Juliet, and she's going to tell us some about the fun things she's doing here.
We're talking about Oakland's Mansion today, located right here in Murfreesboro, and so much history there. So first, how far back does Oakland's date?
The first time we can prove someone is living there is the Mannies in the 1820 census, but Sally Manny inherited the property in 1813, and it was argued that Ezekiel White could have built something, the earliest structure there, although I don't believe that's the case. I think the Mannies did build the structure in the 1810s.
1800s, and back then, you had sometimes not just the family living there, but extended family as well, and I guess some family lived outside the house, but in other facilities or structures that were there. Tell us a little bit about what it was like living in that time frame when that house was built.
Well, Sally Manny inherited 274 acres from her father, Colonel Hardy Murphy, the man Murfreesboro is named for, when he died intestate without a will. He had over 40,000 acres. So the state legislature divided his land holdings, and James and Sally Manny lived in Murfreesboro, North Carolina. But they moved to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, another town named for their family, with the enslaved people that she inherited. So those were the individuals that would have been living outside on the grounds and probably under the house as well, this winter kitchen space. And we're interestingly working on the winter kitchen right now. At the end of the tour, I used to hear that people ask the tour guides, well, where's the kitchen? Because we don't interpret a kitchen. There's not one that you see currently. You see two dining rooms and no kitchen. And the winter kitchen is below the house. Typically, the winter kitchen is where enslaved people live, where they eat, sleep, dine, tend their children, where the laundry is done. And then summer kitchens were built later on. It began to be fashionable to move kitchens out of the house and slave quarters out of the house as we moved closer to the Civil War. And summer kitchens also got the heat out of the house in the summertime. And so there would have been extended family members and guests constantly traveling there because there were no hotels or places to stay in the area. And a wealthy family like the Mannies would have had lots of extended family and guests that were not known to them that wanted to use them as a place to stay while traveling through the area with their political and social connections.
It would be fascinating growing up in that time just because of how primitive things really were back then. But then when you factor in how this family had some of the first gas lighting that was available in Murfreesboro, that's kind of cool that they were on the cutting edge of technology, if you would.
Yeah, the plantation was built on the corner of the property closest to the town square, but a plantation is pretty much its own self-sustaining little community, and they would have done and provided most everything they needed for their lives, and their guests and their slaves all created there on the plantation.
So with that gas lighting, did they ever have fires or anything ever happen like that?
We don't have any history of the house having any significant fires. Surely there were some. There's an interesting burn in the front parlor where a log rolled out onto the floor and burned the Darrow-era floor that was added by them after they bought Oakland's. There's an interesting burn on the floor in the early section of the house that we interpret as an orientation room today. The downstairs bedroom has a burn near the center of the room, and it was where a 55-gallon drum, where people who were homeless were burning to stay warm in the house when it was vacant. So that's when it really was probably most likely, would have been most likely to have been lost to fire, arson, or accidental, when it was vacant from 54 to 59.
How many square feet is that house?
8,500 and something.
That's a big property for sure.
Mm-hmm, yes. It is.
I know you said some sections, I guess, were added on to later on over the years, but the original main part of this structure, I guess that part would have been what, about 6,000 square feet, and they added onto that?
No, the house was built. It's very bizarre the way that the Mannies built the house, and we don't know why. There aren't surviving letters, diaries, journal entries that tell us that. We know the size of the house and the family from census. We know the census records tell us the size of the family, but they don't tell us about the additions onto the house. So the official record from Building Conservation Technologies in 1978 is that the Mannies built a two-room structure there, a small hall and parlor cabin, and that's what we interpret as phase one. The first edition is only a couple of years later, about 1820. I truly believe that is the original structure, but that's not the official record. And that's the part of the house that the winter kitchen is below. The four joists there are hand-hewn with an axe. The original structure has four joists that are made on a circular saw, and that doesn't make sense. But there are a lot of construction mysteries about Oakland's. The story is that they removed the roof from their original structure and added a second floor and a back wing in the 1830s. So again, within 15 or 20 years, now they've added on to the house multiple times. And that's how Dr. Manny and Sally Manny knew the house, as a federal home of that configuration. And you can go to our website, as confusing as this is to listen to, and I can only imagine. On our website, you can see the construction phases. They're on signage right in front of the house. We used to put a model together for our tourists when they would arrive, a little dollhouse, if you would, and we would assemble it so they could understand. When Sally Manny passed away, the plantation was given to their son, Dr. Manny, and Sally's son and daughter-in-law. And the daughter-in-law was the governor's daughter. Governor Newton Cannon was the first Whig governor of the state of Tennessee. So when she and her husband took control of the plantation, they nearly doubled the size of the mansion. And probably it was 1858. And they built the massive Italian addition on the front of the house, and it nearly doubled the size of the house. So that's when the significant addition came. But many families built their houses at one time of similar wealth. One example here in Murfreesboro would be the Basket House. It's known as the Woman's Club today. It is very similar in architecture to Oakland's. Now, it does have an addition, a later addition on the rear, but for the most part, that house was built at one time. And why the Mannys built their house and so many small phases and additions, we don't truly know.
It's wild they went from a two-room structure to this massive mansion.
That's the story, yeah.
And again, this morning we're talking about Oakland's Mansion, which is, of course, right here in Murfreesboro. Now, over the years, that house, I'm sure, was the hotspot for entertainment of different kinds. What was that like when they held parties there or community events?
Would have been very different between the original owners, the Mannys. Dr. Manny was an elder in the Presbyterian Church. He was a founder of the Tennessee Medical Association. It was founded at Oakland's. The Darrows were seen as being a bit scandalous when they bought Oakland's from the Mannys. They were the first millionaires in Rutherford County. And for the third time, the house was built with a bought, rather, with the, or the property was bought with the wife's money.
But these were millionaires in the 1800s. Big, big money then.
The Mannys were extremely wealthy. They were worth about $605,000 by our best estimates. And you can put that into an inflation calculator and see how many millions it would be worth.
$21.6
That's a lot of money.
And they lost it with the war and the slave trade and the cotton production that they created in Mississippi. That was how their wealth grew and how their wealth shrank very rapidly. And then the mansion was sold at auction and the remaining acreage to the Darrows. They moved here from Memphis and they bought it because of its Civil War history, because the first Battle of Murfreesboro was fought on the front yard and because Oakland's is a battlefield. They bought the house for that reason, and they entertained there very heavily, and they drank alcohol, which the Mannys were not known to do. And they eventually built a house on East Main Street, still standing on the corner of Highland and Main. It's one with the lions out front and on the sides. They're not the same lions that the Darrows had at Oakland's and moved there, but they are representative of them. People, that's always the next question. But the Darrows entertained in a very different way, in a very much more elaborate way, and they added the modern utilities to the house. And that's one thing that we are trying to understand better today. That wasn't part of the original interpretation. Oakland's was always interpreted just to the 1860s, but today people really want to know when was the electricity and when was the plumbing and when was the heating and air added. And so those are some of the mysteries that we are currently unraveling as we are working in the winter kitchen below.
Over these time periods when you had different families moving into Oakland's mansion, how big of a piece of property was it, and where did the front driveway actually start way back then?
Oakland's was a 274-acre tract that Ezekiel White earned for service in the Revolutionary War. He sold it to his commanding officer, Colonel Hardy Murfree. James and Sally Manny inherited it from his estate, and they began buying property in the area immediately. At the end of the war, Dr. Manny divided 770-some-odd acres amongst his heirs, but it's believed that he owned nearly 1,500 acres in the downtown Murfreesboro area, although not always one contiguous tract. Northfield Boulevard was named for the Northfields of Oakland's plantation, and the driveway started at Lytle Street. That's where the road shifts today. If you leave Oakland's, it's the first stop sign that you come to, and the road makes a shift at Lytle, and that's why there's a change in the away the road lines up there. That was the end of the driveway. From there to the current end of the driveway was the first subdivision in Murfreesboro created by the Mannies in the 1870s, known as Manny's Addition to the city of Murfreesboro. And that was a way to help them make money and just be able to hang on to the house and some of the grounds for as long as possible. One of many ventures they had.
So that original front entrance about two blocks or so off of East Main Street?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Could you see the house from the road?
Mm-hmm. You can just see the house when you turn there on Waddle Street. In the mostly probably then in the winter and the fall, there would probably been difficult to see with the amount of trees that would have been in the front fields, but that we're not sure of. The first photograph that's known to be of Oakland's says Mr. George Darrow's residence. It's taken around 1900, and electricity had just been installed in the house. Bill Jakes bought a photograph on eBay that was titled Oakland's Mansion, but after he, maybe before he bought it or when he received it in the mail, I'm not sure which, he discovered that it wasn't Oakland's, it was the Woman's Club, the basket house that I mentioned earlier, with its original porch still intact. So with the Manny's wealth, I think certainly they had the house photographed from the exterior, but that photograph, unfortunately, is still currently lost to history.
With the trees that currently line that front entrance, did those trees at one point go all the way to the Lytle Street area?
Probably not. Those trees that line the driveway today were planted as a project after Oakland's was renovated as a historic site after 1959. There are a few of George Darrow's maple trees still on the grounds at Oakland's, and in that first photograph we can see them as saplings with little cages built around them. The history oak is number 17 on our native tree arboretum walk, so you can go to our garden grounds page and find the map of the grounds, the list of trees. The history oak's over 300 years old. It's right behind the picnic pavilion, and there's a fence built around it, so it's easy to pick out. It's a witness tree. There's a sign there that gives a list of major events that have happened in our nation since its founding and in the approximate time that that tree sprouted. And so we have an incredible collection of trees. Most all the trees that are native to the state of Tennessee that thrive here in Middle Tennessee are found on our grounds. And Jody has a passion for photography, and she has been documenting our garden grounds very well since she's been back at Oakland's. Those photographs are right now all on our Facebook and Instagram pages, but we are creating a new album for them on our garden grounds page so people can see those. But I'd love for Jody to tell you some more about some of the specific critters and flora and fauna that she has found.
What all have you found out there?
Our newest surprise, we didn't even know was living down there, is an American mink. Popped out, crawled across a log and stood for a few minutes, let me take a couple pictures. But usually there's a muskrat that likes to hang around down at the end of the trail that goes along Manny Spring. And all through the spring, there's muskrats and turtles, and we have an otter that'll visit from time to time, and of course, lots of squirrels. But so far, I think I've gotten about 63 different birds as well that we've got down there, and I know there's a whole lot more that hide that you can hear, but you can never see them. But we've just been trying to get pictures of all the different variety of wildlife that we have down there, all of our blooms and trees and the arboretum and everything, and just kind of get more visual picture of that. We put together a coloring book with some of the photos that we're working on getting printed right now, and we'll be also coming out with a souvenir booklet and maybe a few of the grounds books with the grounds and photos to have in the gift shop as well. But we've been working on all those as well.
If you're looking at the front of the house, it's to the right of the home. Back then, so many years ago, I'm sure that spring was actively used on a regular basis. Were there structures built around or in the spring?
Yes, there is a spring house and an interpretation that we have currently of what the spring house would have looked like that was built on the spring. And before then, the spring has been there for thousands of years, and it was used by the indigenous people who lived here before the Mannies arrived. And so, but the Mannies used the spring for not only water, they had the spring house built on top as it runs at a constant 61.5 degrees because it comes up from underground. And so they had the spring house there to store food in and keep it a little cooler in the hot times.
The little body of water that is there, did they swim in that, or was it strictly used for things like just drinking water and cooking water?
Well, it has leeches in it.
Oh, so not fun.
Yeah. They probably didn't swim in it, and they would have gotten all of their water for bathing. The enslaved would have traveled there to bring water constantly throughout the day to the house. So if you look at the right or east side of the mansion, you'll see there are doors in almost every room before all the water that was brought into the house, warmed over the fire, and then brought to the Mannies in their rooms by the enslaved. And the resources there were used, as Jody said, for the Native Americans, for the plantation. Then as the community developed, Mannies addition, everyone that bought a lot there got free and permanent access to the spring for their water sources. They didn't have to worry about digging a well. Today, the grounds are the largest public green space in downtown Murfreesboro. So we have a tremendous amount of residents and visitors that use the grounds, and more that are finding about it every day. They're learning that it's a native tree arboretum, that it's a battlefield, mm-hmm. that they're walking trails, that there's a spring, and that there are all these animals and flora and fauna that we need help protecting. So we want you to enjoy the wetlands and help us encourage folks to use the trash cans and to keep their pets on leashes and to not let their pets go into the water. Jody can tell you a bit about why.
Or catch things out of the water. There's plants that live the spring that are not really rare because they're endangered. They're rare because they only grow in a few spots, and we are one of the spots that some of the plants, and so walking around in there would hurt that, and it interrupts ecosystems. But all the animals that live there, they have their own balance of who eats what and who, and to remove part of that would hurt other animals. And it just, you know, to take from means that other people who visit don't get to see what you got to see because it's no longer there, kind of a thing. And so it's a public park where we're all there to enjoy everything. And so we just want to make sure everybody can see what we all see.
And the amphibians like to not have dogs in their eggs when they're laying them on the shore. So please keep your dogs out of the spring too.
Yes.
Now, when events are held on the Oaklands grounds, is it similar to how events would have been held so many years ago?
I doubt it. I've wondered that too. If the Mannies could come back and see what we're doing today, what would they think? Well, there are historic events that we have a bit of a history of, a barbecue that was held at the spring, and it tells us how many carcasses of pigs were laid out on the tables. So yeah, it's a bit different than today. We've had a few barbecues, but nothing to that scale. Our plastic tables are not as pretty as the wooden tables and chairs that people would have brought out, and the cloth that they would have put on top of them, and their events would have been smaller in scale, certainly, than what we have today.
Have you got any pictures of, way back then, different events that were held there on the grounds?
We do not have any historic images of events on the grounds at Oaklands until the museum was established, until opening day was held in 1961, I believe it was. Anything prior to that, not to my knowledge. They may exist. Hopefully they'll turn up.
How often do you run across pictures or even, painted images of Oaklands Mansion that you may find online or in other cities?
Well, there's a massive amount of artwork of Oaklands, modern artwork of Oaklands, but historically there's very little. We've recently received a scrapbook dated primarily from 1925 to 1931 that was kept by the Roberts family when they lived at Oaklands, and that has been a wonderful resource for us. We are not through reading the countless letters, 130 some odd pages, if I remember correctly. And we do have scans of some of those documents on our Instagram and Facebook page too as well, and we'll be doing a temporary exhibit with that. There are photographs of a domestic employee on the grounds that we had not seen before. There are a couple of photographs that show fences, trees, one that shows a new facade of the historic summer kitchen. Though it's not the Manny period, it was still standing. Oaklands demolished the summer kitchen in 1959 or 60 when the mansion was restored for a museum because it was believed that the building was too far gone to be saved, so it was demolished to grade. The foundation remains are still there. But the scrapbook provided us a photograph of the east facade of it that had never been seen. So yes, there are certainly historic images out there, and they will still surface when family members find them, or like the scrapbook, it just had to be the right time. We were aware of it. We had not seen much of it. We had seen some of the photographs, but the family had to come to that point in time when it was the right time for them to make that contribution. We look forward to those because we can preserve them and disseminate them. We can digitize them, and they now have record at the Rutherford County Archives and at Oakland's Mansion. So if there were a tragedy and there were a fire or a tornado, it is digitized.
And again, with us today, we have James Manning and also Jody Johnson from Oakland's Mansion here in Murfreesboro. When you look back at the history, what date did the last family actually live at Oakland's Mansion and move out?
Rebecca Jaton was the last person to live in Oakland's Mansion, and she spent her summers at Oakland's in the modern kitchen that had been added by the Darrows to the rear of the mansion, and she spent her winters in the James K. Polk Hotel. So the house was partially vacant. She and her brother bought the house from the Roberts. So the Roberts were the last family to live in it as a family home.
How many years back would that been?
36 comes to mind.
About 1930s.
Yeah.
It's wild to just imagine somebody living there. Such a big house. And I guess back then, would it just be two people that were living there?
No, it was a family home for the Roberts, and they built their house on the corner of Main and Roberts, or Main and Manny, excuse me. And it's still there today. A beautiful Queen Anne on a very tall, elegant stone foundation. They had a number of girls, and the house had utilities added to it and was not built for utility. So they built a house with both gas and electric lights in each room, and a sink in each bathroom, in each bedroom, so that their girls could get ready more quickly. If you look at the photographs that we have of Oakland's during the Roberts period, are on the back porch, the summer kitchen, and if you go back there on a tour, you'll notice that the shutters are beginning to show their age. You can see the mansion is beginning to show some deferred maintenance or disrepair, so they were building a more modern house for their family when they sold Oakland's.
Again, talking about Oakland's Mansion this morning, we're going to take a short break, and then we will be right back.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. If you find yourself feeling stressed, come enjoy the benefits of fish in our tranquil aquatics department. Studies have proven that watching aquarium fish can reduce stress and lower blood pressure. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro. Please check out our Facebook page.
By growing up in the restaurant business and being always around it, it was just something that was just second nature to me. I didn't realize the amount of work that was involved in it. I didn't understand and appreciate all that my parents sacrificed in order to provide for us. And now I'm very thankful and I'm very appreciative of the foundation that they laid for me so we could teach others to create what they have done to make it more of a legacy than just a passing of the torch.
This is Peter Demas inviting you to enjoy a meal with our family at Demas's Restaurant.
Well, we knew about Adam's Place from the time it was first built.
Margaret Ordobadian.
I remember Dr. Carl Adams and Jenny May, and so we were really familiar with this place. We had one friend who moved in immediately when it was built, and we didn't consider any other place. We just knew this was it.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me about Adam's Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
This morning we're talking about Oakland's Mansion, and we have with us today James Manning and Jody Johnson. And coming up June 22nd.
The Cicada Soiree. Yes, absolutely. The Cicada Soiree is presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners. This is one of our larger fundraisers for the year. So we would love for you to come out and buy a ticket or a table to that. Sponsorship starts at $250. Tickets start at $100. So if you buy a $100 ticket, you're making a $60 contribution to Oakland's, and $40 is what we calculate as our cost. So what you're going to get is an all-you-can-eat meal by the Alley on Main, and all-you-can-drink from Julie's Bartending, and custom rum drinks until your heart's content from Pritchard's Distillery, and live music for a Quarter Life. So if you go out to dinner with your family, and if you can get all you can eat, all you can drink, and live music, and go visit a historic site for under $100 a person while making a contribution, then we think this is a great way to spend the night. So this is a wonderful opportunity for us to show you how we can entertain at Oakland's, and it's the people that live here in Murfreesboro that sustain us, that come to these events or host their family functions at Oakland's, and that allow us to be able to keep doing free and low-cost stuff for the community.
How difficult is it to hold a function at Oakland's Mansion?
It's pretty easy. Just give us a call. If we have the date available, we're going to work with you. If it's a Saturday during the busy wedding season, it's going to be harder because that's really our bread and butter. That's our largest one single source of income. As a 501c3 nonprofit, we've got to make more 50% or more of our income from our mission-related activities, and we do. But for our one largest single source of income, that's our rentals of the grounds and our reception hall. Manny Hall is an elegant, beautiful room that was given to us by the Chris Houston Foundation when they gave the visitor center to Oakland's in 2000. And that's where people host family functions, but where we also have free meetings for our community, like the Rutherford County Historical Society meetings, Rutherford County Archaeological Society, and other organizations can use it for free because we're able to charge people to have their family functions there. We also have small spaces like our guest house that was built in the 1960s to be a caretaker's cottage for Oakland's. You can rent that low cost for a small family function. And if you can do things on a Friday evening or a Sunday, and it doesn't have to be a Saturday evening during the busiest season, then we can really work with you on the price. There's the picnic pavilion on the grounds that's super low cost for families to do functions. So just call us and we'll figure out a way to make it work for you.
Well, I remember the community swimming pool that used to be front and kind of towards the left of Oakland's Mansion. I know that wasn't an original pool to Oakland's, but was there ever anything like a swimming pool built at Oakland's Mansion?
Not to our knowledge. The spring has been the water source, as we discussed earlier, but if there was ever even a pond on the property, we don't know. We have a 1936, I think, aerial photograph of the mansion and some of the grounds, and it shows us some barns and outbuildings that were once there, and the spring and trees that we've lost, but there's no knowledge of that.
Did you ever have anything, like over the years when families lived there, any presidents, sitting presidents, come in and visit the families?
Well, during the Civil War, President of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, visited troops in the area and stayed with the Mannies. His aide-de-camp was Custis Lee, son of Robert E. Lee, and he stayed across the hall. The Mannies hosted the wife, President James K. Polk, Sarah Childers Polk, more than once in the mansion. She was a cousin and lived here in Murfreesboro. Other guests, Jean Faircloth, Mrs. Douglas MacArthur, was there a number of times and gave Oakland's a piece of silver with her with that inscription.
A young Frank Gum, father of Judy Garland.
Judy Garland's never known to have been in Murfreesboro, but this is the hometown of her father. He was born in the community of Gum here on the outskirts of town. He was born Francis Gum. He went by Frank. He named his daughter after himself. When she became a child actress, they thought that Murfreesboro, Tennessee sounded like a better name, hometown, to market her in. So they changed her name to Judy Garland from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, in some initial publications. But that is the Darrow's claim to fame. They were godfather and mother to Frank Gum and his brothers. Those boys, their education was paid for by George Darrow when he owned Oakland's Mansion.
Very interesting. And as we close this morning, if anybody would like to take a tour of Oakland's Mansion, is it open Monday through Friday? What days should people stop by, and do they need to call ahead?
You don't have to call ahead or make a reservation, but we'd love to have a reservation on our website. It lets us know who's coming and when, and helps us out a lot. But you can tour Oakland's Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, and we are there on Mondays with the gift shop often open, and the office is almost always open on Mondays. The weekends, we host special events, and we're open for tours when we can be. We've got tours coming up on Saturday and Sunday, June 1st and 2nd, I think, are our next two weekend dates. You can go to our website, oaklandsmansion.org, and right at the bottom of the homepage, you can see the calendar and see what dates are there. You can also scroll at the top under News and Events and drop down and see lots of events that are hosted at Oaklands that are not ticketed events. There might be free events. They might be hosted by other organizations. So there's lots of different ways to experience Oaklands, and we wanted you to take advantage of as many of them as you can. If you find that you just can't figure out a way to get to Oaklands during the times that we're open, just give us a call and we'll make it work somehow.
That sounds great. Again, this morning we've been talking about Oaklands Mansion here in Murfreesboro. Our guests, James Manning and Jody Johnson, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you.